Would you like to read with me from 2 Kings? The second book of Kings, chapter 22. Now, before I start, I might say this is the first time that I've preached at this conference. Although I was in Phoenix possibly 65 years ago. But it's the first time I've ever preached at your conference. I have had meetings in Phoenix, but never been to this conference before. Chapter 22 and 1 of 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adiah and Bosha. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. It came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewed stone to repair the house. Albeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Achariah the son of Mishael, and so on. And verse 13, "Go ye inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." Now we know that he did that, and he went to the prophetess and so on. And in verse 15, "And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, and that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, Thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And then, see what happened after they brought it. Chapter 23:1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, and walked after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that was written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Now we'll read more later, no doubt, because this will be like a Bible reading, but I'm the only preacher up here, different than this morning. However, I think one person in this audience that's heard me more than anybody else is my daughter, and I don't think she ever heard me on this, because this is practically a thought or two is new to me, or fresh, shall we put it that way. Now, you'll notice one thing that I've read to you, and I've tried to abbreviate it a little. Book. The main thing here is the book. As he read about it, the book. What was wrong? The wrong was this. First of all, where was that book? It was in the house of the Lord. What happened to it? It had been lost. Because if you find something, it means it's lost, doesn't it? Well, don't have to know Greek or Latin to understand that. And so the book was right there in the house all the time, and yet it wasn't being used. It was lost. And what were they doing? Doing everything that was going on around them. Just whatever their eyes saw. That's why they had idols. That's why they were making their own gods and serving their own gods and so on. And the God of Israel, their own God, was being set aside. Why? Because they never read about him in the book. There it was, there all the time. Does that not have an application to us today? Why, I don't know, you'll say. All right. It was there all the time, but it was lost. And we've got it all the time, but have we lost it? Oh, no, you say, we haven't lost it. Well, then why is other things being brought in? Why are other things being reduced? Well, you can answer that one. But I know you can't know, although I do probably wrong at times. A brother from Ontario will know that. I even asked him in the audience. You're hoping I won't ask you any question now. Well, you can answer me if I do. However, that's one of the first things I want you to notice with me, where that book was. It was right there all the time, though they were not going by it. It was in the house of the Lord. But it was lost. And we can go, we can have the book, all right, and we've got it, and we carry it in Bible bags and pockets and so on, but do we go by it? That is the big question. Has it been lost? Has it no grip upon us or whatever? Well, it didn't with them, and that is why they were doing what they were doing. That is why that they were going so far away and gone astray. Every man was doing that which was right in his own mind and in his own thoughts and so on. What we want to notice about this was, first of all, the house itself was in disarray. Oh, well, yes, didn't you notice with me? This ought to be an encouragement to all young believers, all young men. Why? This was a young man. King Josiah was a young man. Well, he was very young when he started to reign. And his reign wasn't very long either. And we'll maybe try to show you what happened and why it wasn't. Could have been longer than it was, I think. However, as a young man, he started to do things for the Lord. And he did it without knowing about that book. He'd had a good bringing up, all right. I know that under the priest. But nevertheless, he was stirred up when he saw the disarray of the Lord's house and the crumbling of the thing and so on. And so in verse 5, that's what we read together. He wanted that money to be gathered up, and it was, well, they said, we found that there too now. They evidently didn't know how much they had or anything else. They hadn't taken any reckoning. But there's one thing about it, they seemed to trust one another, because you notice here in verse 7, and they didn't take any reckoning there. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them, that's the people that did the work, of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And that's the way it ought to be, and it always used to be, and it did. You know, I remember being at the Toronto Conference years ago, and that's probably before you were there even. We didn't even have to give a report of anything we received from the conference. In those days, they dealt faithfully that way, and they expected everybody to be faithful. And so, you wouldn't know, nobody knew, they just give you so much, that's it. Didn't have to write any letters back and so on. Man, now you have to write to everybody. You got to make records to them and records to the government and I know what not. But you didn't have to then. However, see how things have changed? But nevertheless, the point is, the house itself was in disarray. It needed repairing. And so, this man, a young king, stirred up, and he wanted this different. He wanted to get them to going and repair it. And so, here's all the tradesmen now that have been appointed, and money's been given to buy the materials and so on. And that's how they found the book, because they had to go finding money first. That was there. And as they went finding that, well, the high priest now, why, we found the book. Yeah, the book, all right. And many, many times the Holy Spirit has mentioned that in here. The book, the book, the book. And here we have it in our hands this afternoon, the Holy Word of God. And are we going by this book? Does it mean anything to us? It didn't mean anything to them, or else they would have found it long before they did. They allowed it to be lost right in the house of the Lord. And so, what happened? The finding of that book and the reading of it stirred up a king and a nation. It stirred the whole nation of Israel at that time, that is, at least Judah. Things were done, and done according to what they found written in the book. That's what was said more times than once. So, first of all, the effects of the reading of that book did one thing for the king, first of all. What was that? He humbled himself. And that pleased God, all right, because I read that to you. And God said, because thou hast humbled thyself and wept before me, I won't bring this evil upon the nation while you're living. I'll see to it that you will die in peace and go to your father's graves in peace because of the tenderness of your heart and because you were willing to go by the book and because it stirred your very soul because of this book that was lost and set aside. And the same thing applies to us. I know we have a different book. Well, we have the whole thing. We have the New and Old Testament now. We should be more responsible than they were at that time even. But they weren't going by it. And so instead of going by it, as we've read together, they were doing all these other things that they shouldn't be doing. Oh, what a terrible thing it must have been. And as God looked down upon that scene, he promised and said what he was going to do, and he was going to have swift judgment come upon them. But that judgment was held back for one reason. Why? Because this king had read that in the book and it stirred him. And because he stirred the people. Oh, I think of conferences like this. This is a small one. Seems to me I had as many people last Lord's Day to speak to, and it wasn't a conference at all. As this, as our brother was preaching, praying. There's so many Christians. We have them up our way. And sometimes we have large ministry meetings without a conference at all. And I hope that continues. But it won't continue if we depart from this book. It won't continue if we go by our own opinions or the judgments. My judgment is just as good as yours. Sometimes mine isn't very good. Well, it's just man's judgment. But here's the book that we go by. And so, it humbled the king. As a humbled young man, he was willing now to go by that book. And then, there's quite a little statement. I don't know whether you have it down here or not, but it is in Ontario. And that's in connection with action. And some have said, and they use that in their advertisements, go where the action is. Well, I'll tell you, if you want to be where the action is in the right way, get into the book like this man and the others did, and there was an action, all right. They got busy and acted for God. And that's where we stopped reading, was in the third verse of 23. But from there on, if you begin to read from verse 4 down, what an action was going on then. They began to clean things up. The action was there all right. My, it must have made somebody angry, you say. Generally it does. There's things in this book that will make people angry. And generally it does, but they had to do it because it was against God. It was against what was written. And when they found it, now, notice what they did in verse 4, chapter 23. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests and the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem, in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. You think that wasn't where the action was? I'll tell you, there was plenty going on. Was everybody happy? Well, the ones that were going in for that kind of a thing, you wouldn't think they would be, would you? And yet it was wonderful. The man had gathered all Israel together, and the elders and the priests and so on, first of all, before he started all of this. And he got them to say that they would go according to the covenant that was in the book. Showing us this. When you're going to do something for the Lord and it's a big thing like this, take your brethren along with you. Don't just do it on your own. I've had to, being that I'm older than many of the elders in assemblies, I've had to tell some of them, now don't do this on your own. You have a meeting with your elder brethren and get them to see this according to the book and then act. Too many things are being done just on their own. That doesn't work. And you notice we have it all here. He got them first of all and they held to it. Now there's a cleansing going on. Man, if there ever needed to be a cleansing, it is simply now. Right this afternoon. You know, it's a strange thing. And yet sometimes I think about it, and it's a grieving. If it grieves me, I'm sure it grieves the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And what's that? I go away from the conference just the same as I came. I don't believe I'm any more spiritual when I went away as when I came. I didn't think I was spoken to, and it was my fault. It wasn't the preacher's fault. They can't speak to me. It has to be the Lord. And if I've closed my ears and won't listen, then what? It's all on my own. I'm to blame. But how many of us come and go and we enjoy the meals? And I notice one of our brother, I do the same thing, brother. I enjoyed those good meals that you thank the Lord for. Well, yes, they are good. I'm not like a man I heard who went to a conference and some that weren't there asked him, what kind of a conference was it? Well, it wasn't too bad, he said, but they forgot the potatoes. That's all he got out of it. He didn't get his potatoes. Well, we hope we'll get more than that. It's the book. Well, and so the great cleansing went on. But now I want you to notice something else. Not only was that lost right in the house of the Lord in the temple, but notice something else in verse 7. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Notice how close they were. Now, I told them just last week up in Ontario that this Bible is one of the most up-to-date reading we can get. People who want to, why, that old Bible, that old book, they'll say, it's most up-to-date. What I'm reading to you this afternoon is right up-to-date. Why? Where were those Sodomites? They were right there by the house of the Lord. Where are the Sodomites now? Some of them get into the house of the Lord or the assembly. I would hope not. But it has been found out they were in there. Of course, anywhere I go, they're excommunicated when they're found out. But go beyond the assemblies and what are they doing with them there? Ordaining them to preach even. You believe that, don't you? You see it too. So do I, brother. And it's terrible and wickedness. And nothing is being said about these things hardly. Well, it was right by the house of the Lord. No wonder God's wrath was going to be upon them. Not only had they lost the book, but now they're allowing everything, even the Sodomites, to camp right there with their houses, mind you. It wasn't even a tent. It says their houses. They built houses, they got so close. Bringing in their damnable things right in, right close. And more than that, notice something else in verse 7. Where the women wove hangings for the grove. Why, the women were there right near them too. And what are they doing? Are they making something for the Lord? No. Isn't that something? Talk about an up-to-date reading. We've got it right here. It's right up-to-date. It's right up to this afternoon. 1993. November. Here we are. And now there it is, and went on and on. But we're going to read on. We told you we'll be a little reading, all right. Verse 19. And all the houses also of the high priests that were in the cities of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away, and did to them according to all the acts that he had done in Bethel. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altars, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. You want to be where the action is? It was there, all right. Slaughter was going on. And he actually burning their bones and so on. My, what a hard, miserable man he must have been, you'll say. Was he? Well, God said your heart was tender. I read you that. God said because your heart was tender, and because you humbled yourself before me, and because you wept before me, I'll not allow you to see all this that I'm going to do to them. No! The man was out for good. The man was wanting to do something for God. And he was doing it according to the book. A lot of things that are being done are not according to the book. I don't know how it is. I seem to make enemies at times. Because you weren't there at this conference, but that wasn't very long ago when I told them that, and I haven't taken it back, and I'm not intending to either. I don't believe every brother taking part is led of the Holy Spirit. He's led of some spirit. It could be his own spirit. It could even be the spirit of his wife. But we hope it would be the Holy Spirit. How could it be the spirit of his wife, you say? Well, look. They're sitting together at the breaking of bread. And she's got her hymn book open. And you see an elbow go like this. And he turns this way and looks. She points to that. And he gets up and gives that hymn out. Whose spirit is that? That's her spirit. How do I know such a thing? Well, I've got good eyesight, according to the eye specialist. He told me the other day, he said, I have men in here 25 years old that haven't got as good eyesight as you. So mine's pretty good. I can see a lot of these things. I'm not telling you something far off that I've heard that so and so and so and so and so. I'm telling you something that is right. Something that is right that is wrong, if you can get that one. Why? That part is wrong, but it's right what I'm telling you. However, look a little further along. Verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Isn't that a wonderful commendation that man got from the Lord himself, and it's been put in his holy book? And how were they to do it? According to what was written in the book. And so, brethren, whatever we do in God's New Testament assembly or church, it should be according to what is written in the book. Yes, but brother so-and-so says it ought to be this way. Never mind what brother so-and-so said. An elder was telling me just before I left Canada, what came up in the so-called oversight meeting. So they decided, they said, well, we'll write to Mr. So-and-so. He's another preacher. and get his opinion. And this brother said, go ahead, that'll be all right. And we'll write to G.P. Taylor and get his. Because he'll give it to us from the Bible. So he laughed. He said, they didn't write to anybody. Why? You've got to go by the book, brethren, in order to get God's blessing upon you. It's not by what I say. It's not by what somebody else says. It's not by their opinions and so on. But go by the book. And so, this was a wonderful thing as far as God was concerned. It hadn't been kept for a long time. And now it's being kept. And is being according to what is written in the book. If you get nothing else from my time up here this afternoon, you'll get this, I hope, because you know, it was only the other day that I happened to notice about these sodomites, right where they were. And of course, I had noticed about where the book was lost, right in the house of the Lord. Terrible to think of it. And I got thinking about that very thing. Are we losing ground? Though we have it right in our hands and in the assemblies, are we losing? I ought to ask all these preachers so the rest of you would know what to believe. Not declaring the whole truth of God as it ought to be declared. You couldn't default the preaching. But it's so shadowed at times that some people can't grasp what they're meaning. Well, so much for that. Now, we want to look a little more, a little further along here. Just look at verse 25. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. What a wonderful comment that was from God himself about this young man. First and last of the man. There never was one like him before or since, God says. All of his heart. He wasn't half-hearted. We're living in a half-hearted land now. Politicians are half-hearted. People are half-hearted over this thing and the other thing. And some in the things of the Lord, they're half-hearted too. Well, we don't want to offend, you know. My, they told me in one place, you know, most everybody's are related in this assembly. You got to be kind of careful because if you touch one, you've touched them all. And you'll offend them. Well, I said, who are you afraid of offending? Are you afraid of offending man or God? Which? Who are we afraid of offending? Is it the Lord or man? The fear of man causeth a snare. And it's caught more than one snare, too, just like snaring a bird. Set a trap, and it'll cause it all right. The wrath of his, I don't want to tangle with him. Ah, you can tangle with him if you've got the two-edged sword with you. Stand right up as a soldier before the Lord and say, brother, this is what it says according to the word. Yes, I know, but... Oh, I'm sorry to have to say, but there's another translation to that. And you don't know Greek, do you? Why, I'm able to tell them, listen, I've got a Hebrew Bible, and I read it too. You do? Yes, I do. Now, that startled you, didn't it? Mr. Wood, you didn't know I had a Hebrew Bible and read it, did you? Well, you can read it too, because the English is on the other side. Ah, brethren. Here's the wonderful comment. There wasn't one like him or after him. All of his heart. The whole man and being. though he was king. He had everything to live for. What did he have to die with? God's blessing upon him. He had that to die with. And it doesn't seem to me that he needed to go when he did. However, you know, just the same he did. Look at 2 Chronicles for a verse, and I'll show you why I'm saying that. 2 Chronicles. Well, you want to know where, of course, 34. Second Chronicles 35. Told you the wrong chapter. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him. That is, this king had told him not to come, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of the Lord. Evidently the poor man didn't realize that when this king said that, it was from the mouth of the Lord. He might have lived longer. Why that happened, I couldn't tell you. Whether in all his heart and everything else he'd seen such a stir in Israel or in Judah, things had been turned to the glory of God and everything else, just why he wanted to go out and fight at that time, the Lord knows that. But the one thing is, he died a young man. But he spent his years for God. And we hope that you younger brethren will get hold of this and go on for the Lord in spite of everything that looks so dim and dismal and dark, even in this day in which we live. But I guess I'm supposed to stop at 3. You like that, don't you?